So big questions now. Who was this man? What did he believe? What were his associations? Why did this act of mass murder, an act that Prime Minister Scott Morrison has described, the act of a far-right terrorist, why did that take place? Jason Wilson is a Guardian columnist, a journalist who has spent a lot of time in this space online of the far right, of white supremacists and their groups, and he joins us now. Jason, welcome.
Thanks, Jonathan. Great to be here.
Carrying out an act of mass murder is one thing. Streaming it online is an entirely new level of disturbing and unconscionable. How would you explain that?
Well, I've just finished watching the video for a second time, and it's not something I would recommend that anyone do, but what the video does show, as well as from what we can see of this person's online presence, he's thoroughly immersed in the culture of contemporary fascism. He's clearly someone who has participated in and learned the memes, as it were, of the online fascist subculture, and has likely been radicalized by that subculture, and has taken Islamophobic and white nationalist beliefs that subculture is immersed into their logical conclusion.
What are the signs that you're seeing that makes those connections?
His last post on 8chan, which is a notorious hangout for the online far right, actually directly references the last post of Robert Bowers, the guy who shot up a synagogue in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania last October. He's published a manifesto in which he expresses admiration, reverence even for people like Anders Breivik and Dylan Roof. So, you know, he's clearly immersed in this culture of white nationalism, but there's no other way to put this. He's also making kind of jokes that are familiar within that subculture as he goes along. That last post has a avatar of an Australian character who's become a kind of meme on 4chan who kind of resembles Paul Hogan. Anyway, you know, that's a kind of meme that developed in 4chan to kind of describe Australians and their posting habit.
How has that online world of the far right of online white supremacists, how has that reacted to the events in Christchurch?
It depends on where you're talking about. You know, there's always a moment of concern, even amongst them, when these things happen, not because of the lives taken by these murderers, but because their forum might be shut down and law enforcement might come after them. I think we'll see more reaction from all quarters here in the morning. To be honest, on the thread, if you look at the thread, people who have access to that where he posted, you know, he was getting encouraged in the middle of the murder by other users on 8chan who are just absolutely loving it. And, you know, that's what this culture is. That's the meaning of fascism. That's the only place that it ends, is in the extermination of the people that they don't believe they should be sharing a country with.
This goes to the role of social media and those sorts of networks, but even more, you know, above ground ones like Twitter and Facebook, in the carriage of the sort of material which was distributed this afternoon. The shooter's point of view video was on Twitter. It was run in part by mainstream media organisations on Australian network TV. What's your view on that sort of propagation of that sort of material?
In general, we probably shouldn't publish and propagate and disseminate things that fascist murderers clearly want us to disseminate and propagate. I think that these judgments are difficult, and often they're a kind of case-by-case kind of thing, and if it's all over the internet already, I can see why TV stations would think that maybe they should read out parts of the manifesto or run fragments of the video. I think that certainly in the case of mass shooters, there's a real movement here in the United States to kind of, by reporters and media outlets, to kind of deny them notoriety and to focus on the victims. And I hope that in coming days, that imperative to focus on the victims and to focus on the damage that these people do is something that guides the coverage. You know, people make snap decisions in the moment, and they're difficult decisions. But I think one thing I've learned from covering the far right is that the real stories are there with the victims and with the people whose lives that they damage and destroy.
And there is no shortage of those in this incident, sadly. Conversations that have been had in media in this country about visas for the likes of Tommy Robinson or Gavin McGuinness, for example, are framed in terms of freedom of speech. Does something like this incident throw those conversations into a new light?
I would hope so. I wouldn't propose to engage even directly with the topic of freedom of speech here at the moment. What I'd say is that this notion that he had, this very strong notion that he had, that Muslim immigrants are demographically replacing white people, you know, in what he would think of as their homelands. He would even think of settler cultures as their homelands. The idea of Muslim immigrants replacing, demographically replacing white people, you know, there are slightly softened versions of that belief that have broad currency in conservative media that are relatively, you know, you can find repeated in relatively mainstream places. You can certainly find it on Fox News. And you can find it, I think, in conservative outlets in Australia from time to time as well. The conversation about people like Tommy Robinson or Milo, I think, has to be a broader conversation about what kinds of points of view about race, about ethnicity, about immigration are being propagated in mainstream outlets by conservative voices. And what kind of ecosystem is kind of enabling these kind of guys and making them feel like, you know, their views have a wider audience and wider support. That's what I would like to see the conversation be about.
Talking to Jason Wilson, a Guardian columnist, and we should stress that New Zealand police are confirming very little of the details of this afternoon's events. There have been a number of fatalities, we know that, and they cannot at this stage confirm a precise number, but a significant number. There have been 4 arrests, 3 men and a woman, but that really is the extent of all we know in informal terms from the New Zealand police. Jason, at the beginning of the year, the Prime Minister of Australia, Scott Morrison, he made a key national security speech, keeping Australians safe. This reframes that conversation somewhat around the security threat, around terrorism?
Let me tell you what's happening over here, Jonathan. I mean, the Anti-Defamation League, which is one of the most respected, monitors of the far right and of extremism generally, annually they put out a kind of body count in crude terms of extremist murders. And last year in 2018, they recorded 50 murders, and either 49 or 50, depending on how you count one particular edge case, were right-wing extremists. There were no murders by Muslim extremists in the United States last year. If the toll in this particular incident is anything like the kind of tentative numbers coming out, it's going to dwarf any kind of terrorist, single Islamic terrorist, Islamist terrorist attack in Australia or New Zealand in recent years. It's a simple exercise in counting to see where the danger is actually coming from in 2019, where the danger to the West is coming from. It's coming from right-wing extremists who are and white nationalists who are so incensed by this idea that they have that we're being invaded, that they're prepared to go out and murder people as a result of that belief. That's where the danger's coming from. I would encourage people in Australia, in the United States, in Western Europe, to think on that, to just count the numbers, count the murders, count the incidents and the mass shootings, and come to a conclusion on that basis rather than the well-worn habits that we've all been sort of lulled into over the course of the war on terror, the so-called war on terror. You know, this is where the danger is coming from, and obviously I'd encourage Prime Minister Morrison to think along those lines as well about where the danger is actually coming from.
Jason, thank you so much for your time.
Thanks for having me, Jonathan.
Jason Wilson, he's a Guardian columnist, and his special subject is the online culture of the white supremacist far right. This sort of discussion is a difficult one and can be very triggering. It can raise tough issues. If it has done for you, Lifeline is always there. 1311 14.